Brian Hartgen has produced a new tutorial to help blind people shop using the World Wide Web. Shop Till You Drop is to be released on the 17th of June and teaches techniques that assist with shopping as well as providing some hints as to which stores are most accessible. Making references to Window Eyes, Jaws and How, the tutorial goes through the process of purchasing groceries, CDs and videos, specialist equipment for visually impaired people, booking flights and holidays, purchasing electrical goods, and much more. The tutorial comes on one CD-ROM or four 90-minute cassettes and sells for £25. You can find out more by visiting Brian Hartgen's website. The address is www.hartgen.org. That's www.hartgen.org. A new email scam from a purported American Special Forces commander in Afghanistan who needs help getting drug money from terrorists out of the country is making the rounds on the internet. The Secret Service says this is the latest incarnation of a fraud scheme that targets hundreds of people each and every day. The email starts simply a request to respond to an email to get a phone number, but authorities say it is the first step of a long con that takes in victims looking for easy cash. Other versions of the con involved wiring funds overseas or even travelling to an African nation to claim the non-existent money. Microsoft Corp says it will allow computers and individuals to hide some of its programs in an update to its newest Windows operating system, as requested by the antitrust settlement it signed with the US. The Windows XP Service Pack 1 will allow computer makers and users to change which web browser and internet audio player is automatically used by Windows, and which programs are displayed or hidden, said Jim Cullinan, a Windows product manager. It also removes prompts to sign up for Microsoft's Passport Identification Service. Microsoft agreed in a settlement with the Justice Department of the US and 9 states to allow such changes to make sure Microsoft can't use Windows, which runs 90% of the world's personal computers, to push its own programs at the expense of rivals. Many PC makers will probably promote products from Microsoft competitors such as AOL Time Warner and Real Networks in exchange for cash, analysts said. Customers and privacy advocates have also complained about Passport, which was not dealt with in the antitrust case. The original Windows XP, which went on sale on the 25th of October, asked users repeatedly if they wanted to sign up for a Passport account, which stores user identification so they don't have to re-enter it for different programs and websites. Passport wasn't required to run Windows XP, but it is required to use some XP programs, such as the Windows Messenger Instant Messaging and Teleconferencing program. Microsoft's settlement is being reviewed by a federal judge who is also considering harsher remedies proposed by 9 other states. The update will also incorporate security fixes and corrects problems XP has had working with programs and devices. A test version will be available in several weeks, and the final version will be given to computer makers and available for free download by Windows owners in the late northern summer. Non-English speakers outnumber native English speakers when it comes to using the internet, according to new research from Global Reach. Around 59.8% of the total world online population are from non-English speaking zones, compared to 40.2% of English speaking zones. Speakers of European languages, excluding English, account for 33.9% of the total world online population. Spanish is the number one European language for non-English speaking internet users. Around 40.8 million Spanish speakers are online. This compares to 38.6 million German speakers, 22 million French speakers, and 20.2 million Italian speakers. Internet users from Asian-speaking zones account for 25.8% of the total world online population. This is equivalent to 146.2 million internet users. Chinese is the number one language in the Asian-speaking zone. Around 55.5 million Chinese speakers use the internet, compared to 52.1 million Japanese speakers and 25.2 million European speakers. A British man has been threatened by a gang of spammers after reporting its activity to his ISP. The man, who has asked to remain anonymous, is so concerned he fears for his own safety. The man in question has been mail-bombed a number of times and on one occasion received 250,000 emails within just a couple of hours. His website has also come under sustained attack, which eventually led to its closure. Worryingly still, he also received menacing silent phone calls which he believes are from the spammers. The harassment began almost 5 years ago when he first reported the spammers' activity to his ISP. However, the ISP has been powerless since the spammers set up anonymous pay-as-you-go accounts to send out the emails. If they're shut down, they simply set up a new account using different details and the cycle is repeated again and again. With markets for mobile phones close to saturation, manufacturers will be vying to tap into wafer-thin technology, says the designer of a new letter mobile phone. Stephen Forshaw's invention won first prize in a competition sponsored by Sony, which alongside number one handset maker Nokia has been hit by shrinking demand for new mobiles. The mobile phone market is saturated, but technology is getting smaller and there is potential for these sorts of devices, Forshaw said on Thursday. His invention, called PS Call Me, is a folded piece of paper with a circuit posted as a letter. The recipient can call the sender back by pressing a button. More of a gimmick than an everyday means of communication, the letter mobile would be a unique way of getting in touch. The sender, who Forshaw estimates would pay between £5 and £10 for the device, would activate it beforehand to ensure the phone calls back the person of choice. The call can be recorded if it is of special significance, for example a proposal of marriage, and he said the phone could have a practical purpose to make emergency calls home or to notify the sender that a parcel or letter has arrived. Kazaa, the company behind the popular file-swapping website, said it will fold because it cannot afford to defend itself against copyright infringement charges brought by the major studios and labels. The Dutch company maintains that it is not violating any copyright laws by enabling users to share and download music and movie files by computer. But Kazaa lawyers said on Friday that the firm cannot afford to defend the charges. Plaintiffs have engaged in Rambo-style litigation, Kazaa said in a court filing on Friday, complaining that the studios and labels are using hardball legal tactics to quash it. The collapse of Kazaa, however, is not expected to slow trading activity on the company's network, one of the most popular file-sharing sites in the world. Kazaa said it has sold the file-sharing network to another firm that the music and film industry hasn't sued yet. The website and the software behind it are now owned by a privately held firm called Shaman Networks based in Vanuatu, an island in the Pacific. Lawyers for the 7 major Hollywood studios and 5 major record companies and music publishers said Kazaa is playing a corporate shell game to dodge responsibility. They contend that Kazaa's two founders, Niklas Zennström and Janus Fries, continue to be involved in the operation of the website and made substantial money from the sale. Microsoft is aggressively lobbying the Pentagon to squelch its use of freely distributed computer software and switch to proprietary systems such as those sold by the software giant, according to officials familiar with the campaign. In what one military source called a barrage of contacts with officials at the Defense Information Systems Agency and the Office of U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld over the last few months, the company said open source software threatens security and its intellectual property. But the effort may have backfired. A May 10 report prepared for the Defense Department concluded that open source often results in more secure, less expensive applications, and that, if anything, its use should be expanded. Microsoft's push is a new front in a long-running company assault on the open source movement, which company officials have called a cancer and un-American. Software is designated open source when its underlying computer code is available for anyone to license, enhance, or customize, often at any cost. The theory is that by making computer source code public domain, programmers worldwide can improve software by sharing one another's work. Vendors of the proprietary systems, such as Microsoft and Oracle Corp., keep their source code secret, control changes to programs, and collect all licensing fees for their use. Internet music lovers, fearful that their favorite web broadcasters will go out of business, won a reprieve last Tuesday when the government rejected proposed royalty rates that webcasters considered too high. Librarian of Congress James H. Billington, who oversees the U.S. Copyright Office, said he would issue a final decision by June the 20th, laying out the royalty fees to be imposed. he didn't explain why the proposed rates were rejected. Webcasters had sought lower rates than those proposed in February by a government panel. They said those rates would cost larger webcasters hundreds of thousands of dollars annually, more than they get from advertising or listener contributions. The fees would have been retrospective to 1998. Many webcasters say they would have to shut down if the proposed rates were approved. Opponents can appeal to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit within 30 days of the final ruling. The court would modify or set aside the decision if it found that Billington was highly unreasonable. The Recording Industry Association of America had sought higher royalties than those proposed by the arbitration panel, saying more was needed to compensate artists for using their music. And that's News Briefs for this week.